labours in New Zealand. At the close of the Australian conference, we spent a week with the church in Parramatta, New South Wales. And on February 4, 1893, we embarked from Sydney for Auckland, New Zealand. Our ship, the Rotamahana, too, was a beautiful steamer, and one of the fastest in these waters. I had a convenient and pleasant stateroom on the upper deck, and endured this long-dreaded journey much better than I had dared to hope. There was no rough weather, and on Wednesday morning, February 8th, we were in Auckland. Elder Israel met us at the wharf, and we were soon in a comfortably furnished cottage, which the Auckland Church had placed at our disposal. For 12 days we laboured earnestly for the Auckland Church. Evening meetings were held, as often as the brethren could attend, and each Sabbath and Sunday was fully occupied. Twice I spoke in the theatre to attentive audiences. Elder Starr laboured untiringly for the church, and several of the evening meetings were called early in the evening and divided into two meetings. I would speak for half an hour, and then Elder Starr would follow with a discourse or Bible lesson. Altogether, I spoke 8 times in Auckland. Auckland is a beautiful city, and Seventh-day Adventists have a good church building there, a pleasant, plain, neat chapel. There was once a strong church here, but many of the young men went into the canvassing field, and others moved away, so that now there are comparatively few to occupy our commodious meeting house. It pained my heart to see the empty seats, and the testimony I had to bear was close and cutting. Some confessions were made at this time, but the work done was not thorough, and my testimony did not change. It presented to them their wicked course of action, which had separated them from Christ. The leading elements in the church had not been such as God could use. They had dishonored the sacred truth by quarreling and disputing as to which should be the greatest. They had been too well satisfied to walk in the sparks of their own kindling. They had not felt their entire dependence upon God, nor realized that unless He built the house, the builders labor but in vain. This drawing apart had brought disgrace upon the truth and Christianity. Outsiders had no desire to come to the meeting, they said, to hear the members of the church quarrel. We could only hang our heads at the unchristlike work that had been carried on in this city. Christ says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." I urged the question, "What do you individually think of Christ? By your own course of life, at home, in the church, and in your business transactions in the world, you will individually reveal what are your ideas of Christ. If you are looking away from self, if you are hiding in Jesus and constantly humbling the heart before God, then Christ can work for the church in Auckland. But if you retain your present ideas of what constitutes Christian character, the truth is not truth to you. It cannot possibly do you any good. Instead, you will drag the truth into the mire and dirt, and bring reproach upon the cause of God. We believe that there are many families in America, having a knowledge of the truth, who would be blessed of God if they would settle in such places as Auckland, and while sustaining themselves by their own labors, work to hold up the standard of truth in these cities and villages, where there are thousands who know not the shortness of time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, that men would be more earnest to communicate to others the light and grace they have so freely received.